The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm sure we're happy to be in God's presence tonight. Hallelujah. I welcome everybody to this wonderful service. I pray that God is going to minister to us tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In our Wednesday services, we've been treating this series, God's Presence Series. God's Presence Series. And over the past few weeks, we've been seeing what God's presence is and how it is of advantage to us. Now, in the first class, Papa defined God's presence as the abiding, tangible presence and aura of God around a man that leads to distinction in life. Now, the fact is that God always wants to be around us. God wants to always be in our companion, because he's our father. Now, I don't know how many fathers here, or many mothers here, just hate being around their children. You just see your child, but you say, I hate being around my child. You know, it shouldn't be possible. That's the way God is. God loves being around us. He loves us so much that he delights in being around us. And of course, God's presence is the greatest asset that any man can possess. God's presence is the greatest asset that any man can possess. And over the course of the week and the previous weeks, we've looked at some of the benefits of God's presence. So I'll just run through them quickly. Number one was rest. Number two was elevation, benefit of God's presence. Number three was signs and wonders. Number four was glory. Number five was deliverance from the enemy. Number six was prosperity. Number seven, access to secrets. Number eight was security, and number nine was open doors. These were some of the benefits of the presence of God that was discussed in the course of the weeks, of the previous weeks. And tonight, we're also going to continue the same vein in the topic, the wonders of his presence, part two. The wonders of his presence, part two. Wonders. You can also see benefits of his presence. So, wonders of his presence, part two. So, what do we stand to gain by carrying God's presence? What are those things that we stand to gain when we carry God's presence? So, I'll just run through a few. Number one is good health and vitality. Good health and vitality. Good health and vitality. Please, we can open our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. Now it says, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. So you can see clearly, I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wound. Now, the truth is that God is a healer. Anywhere God is, there is restoration of health and there's vitality. That was why in the Bible, if you notice, anywhere Jesus was going to, it's very hard for Jesus to be in a place and you find a sick person there, or someone that has maybe one ailment or the other. And if I thought that such person was there, he's going to heal the person. Why? Because Jesus Christ carried the presence of God when he was here on earth. And you know, it also rubbed off on the disciples. His disciples also were also able to heal the sick. Why? Because they carried the presence of God. If you remember the story in Acts chapter 3, from verse 1 to 9. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 9. I would not be able to read the whole verses. But I'm sure we know the story of Peter and John, when they healed the crippled man at the beautiful gate. And you know, it was so funny. They The man met them. He saw them going to the temple and he said, ah, please, I need some, you know, some hams. He was begging them for money. But you know, these guys, they didn't have money. But they carried what was more than money. They carried the presence of God. And you know, when the man asked them, Kay, give me for money, I know they answered, money I no get. Silver I no get. Naira I no get. Kobo I no get. But I get them for the presence of God. And you know, I'm not sure that man would have wished that they gave him money instead of what they gave him. Because he had been crippled right from his birth. So it means that he couldn't have wished for anything better. Even if you are giving him a chunk of gold, I'm sure he would reject it. He said, ah, what I have now is even more than what I even asked for. So it means that these guys were able to do this because of the presence of God. Only because of the presence of God. Now you can see that the presence of God is so important. So that some of the disciples also did so many things in the Bible because they carried the presence of God. So via the presence of God, healing and restoration of health always comes. You know, this man had been crippled from birth. It means that was how he was born and was already old. So it means that the presence of God can heal any kind of disease, no matter how long it might have been. And I pray that God's presence here tonight is going to visit every ailment here tonight in the name of Jesus. Remember, we are discussing about the wonders or the benefits of God's presence. And number one, we've seen that good health and vitality is one of the wonders or the benefits of God's presence. Now, the second benefit of God's presence is direction. The second benefit of God's presence is direction. Now, the presence of God always gives direction. The presence of God always gives direction. Let's open our Bibles to Psalms 32, verse 8. Psalms 32, verse 8. Now it says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eyes. Also, and it was talking about God trying to lead us, and God was going to whisper into our ears to tell us the next step to take. That was what Isaiah chapter 30 verse 21 was talking about. Telling us that God was going to whisper into our ears and he was going to tell us the steps to take and how we are to take it. Now, as we prepare, okay. And then ear shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. So it means that God will order our steps. God will tell us, turn here, or don't turn here. Now, as we are about to end the year, this is a very, very good time to begin to seek for God's direction. Because you would need God's direction to run throughout the new year. So this is one of the best periods to be able to settle down with God and begin to seek for fresh direction for the new year. This is the best time to begin to seek for fresh direction for the new year. Because without God's direction, somebody's life would not amount to anything. So God's direction is what makes our life to amount to something. Now looking at the life of Moses. Moses' life was a life of directionlessness. His life had no direction until he met with God, until he encountered the presence of God in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. That was where he encountered God. And as soon as he encountered God, God told him, this is what to do. You are supposed to do this. You are supposed to do this. And he was able to know what he was supposed to do. And you know, I thought about it that if Moses had maybe not killed one of those soldiers and he remained in Egypt, probably as a maybe crown prince, he would have still enjoyed life, you know, at least being in the palace, enjoying the king's meat and so on. But that was not what God wanted for him. That was not what God wanted for him. You know, God said that he knows what he's thinking about us. And all these things are to come to an expected end. Now, God already has what he wants towards us. But it is now left for us to now align ourselves into that thought. You know, for instance, several companies, let me take for instance, maybe Shell for instance. Shell probably have a plan for their workers in this year ending. Maybe they have already planned that, okay, all our workers this year, we are giving them 1 million naira with maybe 30 bags of rice and so on. Please, is there anybody that will get that 1 million naira? No, because you are not working in Shell. So it means that God has a plan for us. But for you to be able to fit into that plan, you first have to align yourself to that plan. And one of the ways of aligning yourself to that plan is by being in God's presence. Because when you are in God's presence, God tells you what to do by time. And there's no way God that has the plan is telling you what to do that he will not mislead you to the wrong plan. It's not possible. Because God is the master planner. And if he's the one directing us, he will direct us in the right path. So one of the benefits of having God by our side and his presence is that God will direct us. That God will direct us. So I want to encourage us tonight as we are planning to end this year, let us seek God more. Let us seek him more so that he is going to give us directions for the new year we are about to enter. Hallelujah. That is just the second benefit of God's presence. Now the third benefit of God's presence is favor. The third benefit of God's presence is favor. Favor. Now looking at the Israelites, when they were about to leave Egypt, you know, God granted them favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Please open our Bibles to Exodus 12, verse 36. Exodus chapter 12, verse 36. It says, "And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians." So it means that they found favor in these people's sight. People that they were slaves to. And you know, after so many plagues and so on, and the place that God gave to them, and Moses visiting Pharaoh and so on, Pharaoh finally allowed them to go. But as they were going, they asked him, Pharaoh, as you are going, you know that your fine Lexus Jeep, your best Jeep, please can you take us where we are going? No problem, you can take it. Pharaoh, you know that your fine yacht, that one that I see nobody should go near. Please, as we are going, can we take it? He said, yes, take it. I know that's how they were asking for so many things, and they were saying, please, take it, take it. That was how they were finding favor in the sight of these people. And also, when they got to the Red Sea, when they were about to cross the Red Sea also, they also found favor. Because God favored them and he parted the Red Sea, and they were able to pass. And recently, science has been trying to research on what really happened. That how is it that the sea was able to part? That is not something spiritual, that is a physical thing. And they came up with an explanation. Now, the explanation was that at that exact same time that the Israelites got to the sea, there was one very sharp wind. They call it downwind. And that wind blew at that exact same time. And the wind lasted long enough for the Israelites to cross. And as soon as they crossed, the wind just stopped. And you know, I was just wondering that this explanation is very marvelous. If it is true, it means that God is very great. You know, they are trying to look for physical, but even if that was the explanation, God is just so marvelous. Why is it at that time, that breeze? I know the funny thing, since that time of Moses till now, that kind of breeze has never blown again. So it makes me wonder that the explanation is still not a normal one. The explanation is still not a normal one. So it means that these people actually found favor. Even if it was a breeze, that breeze was not a normal breeze. So it means that these people found favor in the eyes of God. I know many times when people cannot, you know, when God favors us to an extent, people will not be able to understand what's happening. They begin to look for different explanations. Ah, it's like this is happening, it's like this is happening, it's like this, like this, it's like this, like this. That is what happens when God has favored you so much. People are just so confused that, ah, is this happening? They try to look for an explanation, but there is no explanation. Because when God favors you, it is beyond human explanation. It is just beyond human explanation. I know there were so many people that enjoyed favor in the Bible. There were so many, apart from the Israelites, Esther also enjoyed favor. Esther enjoyed favor. You know, when she appeared before the king and the rest virgins, she was preferred. I know she didn't have any extra qualification. They never said that Esther was the most beautiful among them. It was just that the king just saw and just preferred her. She found favor in his sight. Also, Joseph was a man that was full of favor. Joseph enjoyed favor. Joseph enjoyed favor so much. And you see, favor is something that somebody should not lack in his life. Favor is something that a man should not lack. And you know, according to Papa, Papa said that increasing stature without increasing favor is the cause for frustration without measure. So it means that when you are just increasing in stature, you are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You have almost occupied all the space available. But it's like as you are getting bigger, your favor level is getting smaller. The result will be frustration. So it means that for us to overcome frustration, we just need God's favor. And one way of accessing this God's favor is via God's presence. And I pray that as we access God's presence tonight, we are going to overcome every form of frustration in our lives in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Next, we'll be looking at the secret of God's presence. The secret of God's presence. You know, we have seen some of the benefits of God's presence. Now, we want to look at how we can access this God's presence. You see, God's presence is free. It all depends on if you want to access it. Now, some of these keys, among other keys, will determine if you are going to access God's presence precariously or not. You know, I don't yet know the opposite of that word, so when Papa will tell us the opposite later. So it means that these keys determine the extent to which we are going to access God's presence. And the key number one is the right company. The key number one is the right company. You see, the company you keep will determine if you dwell in God's presence or not. The company you keep will determine if you will dwell in God's presence or not. Let's not even use God. Let's just use Papa, for instance. You know, there are some kind of company that you will keep that will be your friends that you won't even be able to stay in Papa's presence. Maybe you are a worker in the church, and maybe your friends are people that smoke. Maybe on a faith day, you are not smoking, no, but you are walking with them on the street and they were just smoking. They were wearing torn jeans. And maybe by mistake, Papa was just passing with his car. And he just stopped, bam, and just winds down. Please, I don't know if you'd be proud to say, yeah, Papa, these are my wonderful friends. You know, it wouldn't speak well. So it means that if truly we saw our pastor from afar, would have been running away. Please, guys, let's go. That's my pastor. Please, I don't want him to see him. Now that is Papa. Not talk of God. It means that there are some company that will keep that. Because of this company, there is no way we would be able to dwell in God's presence. There's no way. Even if we want to dwell in God's presence, this company will not make God's presence to dwell with us. You know, looking at Moses, you know how God didn't speak to Moses until Moses left Egypt. And I'm very sure that maybe God actually orchestrated it that way. Because when he was in Egypt, God could have as well spoken to him that, yeah, Moses, this is what I want you to do. But perhaps because of the company in that Egypt, God's presence could not minister to him until he had to kill somebody. And it was when he now left Egypt, that was when God's presence now dwelt with him, and God was able to minister to him that, Moses, this is what I want you to do. So God's presence is linked to our company, to the kind of friends that we keep. So if God's presence is our priority, we should watch the kind of friends and the kind of company that we keep, because they will go a long way to affect or to determine if God's presence will dwell with us or not. Number two, secret of God's presence. Number two, fresh light and insight from the Word of God. Fresh light and insight from the Word of God. Fresh light and insight from the Word of God. Now, insights, when we get insight from the Word of God, it is because of God's presence. And the Bible says that we should study to show thyself approved. It means that you should study the Word both day and both at night. You know, recently I read an interview of Bishop Oyedepo. And, you know, they were asking him that, Bishop, you know, I think he finished a service and he quoted so many scriptures without opening the Bible. And you know, they were asking, Bishop, that you are an advanced man. You must have read this Bible like maybe several times. You know everything. I know he didn't tell that. He said that he can't really count. That he doesn't count how many times he reads the Bible. And he doesn't even plan to count. But you know, he asked, or he told the interviewer something. He said that no matter how unintelligent you are, you can never forget the food you ate yesterday night. That is, maybe I should say it in Yoruba. But if I say it, it might be funny. But let me try. Kosi bi e se le ni ogbon to e ma rotin onje te je lale ano. Now it means that no matter how done somebody is, the food he ate yesterday night, if you ask him, he will remember. In fact, if we take a survey now, ask everybody in this hall, what did you eat yesterday night? It's very difficult to find somebody that will not remember. But just change the topic. Instead of food, just put scripture. What scripture did you read yesterday night? Then you begin to hear magical answers. So now, he went further to say that we should eat the Word. So it means that if we are actually eating the Word as food, why can't we remember what we ate last night if we actually ate the Word? So it means we should go past just reading the Word. We should get to the level where we eat the Word. In fact, when we discussed this in my cell, somebody said they remember the food they ate January 1st. At the beginning of this year. So you can imagine that we can remember food so well. Why can't we remember scriptures so well? It is because we are not eating the scripture. It is because you and I are not eating the scripture. Once we eat the scripture, I'm telling you, if you eat it tonight now, by tomorrow you remember. That is if you actually ate it. So I want to encourage us that tonight, when we get home, we should eat the scripture. I'm not saying we should put our Bibles in our mouths. It's just a more intense form of studying. Eating the scripture is just a more intense form of studying the Word. And I pray that as we study, that God will give us insight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We are still looking at the secret of God's presence. And number three is attitude of gratitude. Attitude of gratitude. Now, anywhere God sees gratitude, he responds. Anywhere God sees gratitude, he responds. Let's open our Bibles to Psalms 100 verse 4. Psalms 100 verse 4. It's talking about we should enter into God's presence with thanksgiving and enter into his courts. Okay, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I know this is a praise tabernacle. So it means that as soon as you're entering into this church, you're already entering with praise and thanksgiving. So that means that if you have already entered with thanksgiving and praise from the door already, nobody needs to cajole you to thank God again when it's time to thank God. So it means that henceforth, once you are entering into this church, you should enter with thanksgiving. From the gate, oh, because you enter into his gates. So from the gate as you're entering, you are entering with thanksgiving and with praise. That is the way it should be. Not that you are entering into God's presence and you are sad. Yet, it says in the presence of God there is fullness of joy. So how can you be sad in God's presence? So it means that there is nothing like sadness in God's presence. There is only joy and happiness in God's presence. And number four, secret of God's presence is personal prayer altar. Personal prayer altar. Genesis 19 verse 27. Genesis chapter 19, verse 27. Genesis chapter 19, verse 27. It says, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Where he stood before the Lord. Now, Abraham had access to God's presence because he had a prayer altar. He had access to God's presence because he had a prayer altar. Now, we need a personal prayer altar. And it is also very necessary for the fire on this prayer altar to always be burning. Because one of the ways to access God is via prayer. And you know, that way we communicate with God. But you know, many of us, we treat God like as if God is a genie. If many of us have watched Aladdin, we know what a genie is. You know, a genie is something inside like a kettle, whereby you can make a wish. So anytime there is something that there's a need and you want to make a wish, you come to the kettle and rub it. Oh genie, I need 10 million naira now. When 10 million comes, you keep the kettle again. You spend and spend and spend. When the money finishes, now remember, oh yes, I have a genie. You go back again and you touch the genie again. Genie, I need this. But that is not how a true relationship should be. That's not friendship. Now, let me ask you, if you had a family member, maybe you had a cousin, and anytime he calls you, is to ask for something. Hello, uncle. Uncle, please, I need 10,000 naira. You say, okay, I'll send it. Then he sends it. 2 weeks later, you see his call. You pick it. Hello, uncle, good evening, sir. Uncle, please, I need 15,000 naira. You send it. After a month again, you see his call. He asks you again, hello, uncle, I need 20,000 naira. Please, the next time he calls, what do you think that person will do? Let's not lie, we are human beings. You begin to get pissed off. So it's any time that this person needs money that he will call. And he won't even call to say, hello, uncle. Thank you for that money you sent the other day. I'm so grateful. Nothing like that. It's only when there's a need that remembers you. Oh, I have a need now. I remember Uncle T. Oh, I have a need now. I remember Uncle T. When there's no other reason again that you call on him. That is the way some of us treat God. Only when there's a need, we kneel down. Oh, God. But when there's no need, there's no God. You just sit down and do whatever you like. But once there's a need, you see us praying like as if we want fire to fall down. But once God answers that prayer, that's all. we no longer communicate with God. But yet, we fail to understand that there should be friendship between us and God. We shouldn't just be praying because we feel like praying because we want a need. We should be praying because we want to just communicate with God. You know, we should get that level by wanting to just communicate with God, not just because we want to pray for a need. You know, look at the story of Paul and Silas. You know, they prayed, they sang. Yes, their chains were broken, but they didn't pray to God that, oh God, break our chains. I'm very sure they didn't do that. They were only doing what they usually do, communicating with their friend, which was God. They were communicating with their friend, oh, Father, we thank you. Oh God, how are you doing? You know, they were just communicating like they were communicating with their friend. And they were praising God and just thanking him. And God stepped down into the situation. And that's the way it should be. We should communicate with God daily. I know the funny thing. When you communicate with God and you have a need, even if you don't place that need to God, God will attend to that need. So it means that instead of you putting your need in front, put your need at the back and just create a friendship between you and God. You know, let me give you the scenario of the genie. A genie, normally, you can only make 3 wishes. Now, imagine if somebody had wished, I wish that this genie was my friend. Will that person need to start wishing again? He will have unlimited wishes. Because he won't have to wish only 2 more. Because genie is not his friend. So he will just beg genie, I know it's 2, but can I have 10? Genie will say, no problem, because you are my friend. After the 10, genie, can I have 200? No, we are friends. Genie will say, no problem, I agree, because you are my friend. I know you have unlimited number of wishes. Why? Because you befriended the genie, instead of just using him as a means of fulfilling your wishes. And just have wish 1, wish 2, wish 3, and that's all. Nothing else. So it means the best thing to do is to create a relationship with God, not trying to look for God as a means of getting what you need at that particular time. And I pray that as we build this friendship with God, I pray that God will give us the grace to do so in Jesus' name. Now, as I round up, I want us to know that there is no deficiency in God that creation satisfies. There is no deficiency in God that creation satisfies. It means that there is nothing you are doing that is trying to fill up a vacuum in God. There is nothing you are doing. You know, many times we say that God cannot praise himself, so we are giving him praise. It doesn't mean that if you don't praise him, that there is a vacuum. In fact, your praise and your thanksgiving is even irrelevant. You are only praising God because of yourself, because it is for your own good. So it means that there is no vacuum in God. God does not relate to this world because he lacks something. He does not relate with us because he lacks something. He draws near to us because of the abundance of who he is. So we would only be doing ourselves a favor by drawing close to God. We would only be doing ourselves a favor by trying to abide in God's presence. And I pray that as we try to abide in God's presence, I pray that God will give us grace to do so in the name of Jesus.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-788-78 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. Appreciate you.